And we have Bob Fletcher, BobFletcherInvestigations.com. You can get the DVD, Incoming New Brew. There's a lot of other stuff up here. Check it out. And Bob, this is our last hour. This is going to go real fast. So let's try to get into how you noticed and started connecting dots that you were finding underground military bases and food, okay, and how it led you finally to where you ended up today.
All right. Well, pursuing a multitude of directions, and by the way, this is over a period of a couple of years before I ended up doing the DVD and putting it together once it was with 90% or 95% of the parts to the puzzle were put together. But one thing, okay, so let me just kind of buzz along with this as we'll run out of time. What I found out in terms of underground facilities, I found out not only 103 of them in the United States, give or take whatever, and they're very expensive. They're very, some of them are more basic than others. However, some of them are very, very comfortably set up. They're entire city-type constructions with everything you would need, even including growing capabilities underground to grow foods, and not counting the dried foods, survival-type foods. And by the way, I found out the government for several years had bought up almost 90% of all the production of survival foods from the major companies in the United States. Almost everything they were making for a few years was going in and being stored. All right. They put together a cooperative thing called the Seed Vault, which is a giant underground seed vault up in the Sweden or Denmark area. That's an internationally cooperative program that has millions and, I guess, billions of seeds of every living growing plant that you could imagine is being stored away to regenerate and replant after the entire destruction of most of the growing things growing on the top of the earth. They have a seed vault. As a matter of fact, there is three of them, but the main one is this cooperative one up there in Denmark or Sweden or wherever that is at this time. With seeds for everything necessary to replant the globe. And as a matter of fact, Iran and Iraq the other day, because of the destruction of so many of their plants and growing things in the last wars, going on for so many years over there, they actually withdrew some of the seeds so they could try and replant some of the areas out of their decimated from the war zones. So they've actually even withdrawn some at this point in time. But there's billions and billions, and it's a cooperative international seed vault. And what I found out was that all the rest of the entire major nations of the world have been developing and putting together underground survival facilities. Every major nation, some of them like Russia, has put together between 2008 and 2013, they put out a mandate to accomplish 5,000 of them. And they're, of course, not large, all of these. Some of them are smaller underground operations. But nonetheless, they accomplished putting together 5,000 underground survival facilities for themselves. That's Russia. They also have one large one that could accommodate over 50,000 people in Russia. So it's not just the United States. It's every major nation of the world is doing the same thing. So now it becomes really, as a matter of fact, I got a hold of paperwork that came out from FEMA that went to most all of the people that manufacture freeze-dried foods and survival goods, and they specifically said within 24 hours notice how many tons of food would you commonly be able to supply the FEMA for emergency application. So I actually have that paperwork, and that's in the DVD, of course, that I put together. But so the bottom line was, I found out that all of the major countries are completely concerned about something. All right, and then finally, somebody in the midst of my snooping around in 25 different directions, somebody finally came to me and said, "What do you know about Planet X?" And I said nothing. I don't know too much about that. I know about it, and I know they were looking for it, and so I did some snooping, and I found out that this is where the dates fit together. That in 1983, when they started doing the Star Wars initiative with Reagan and Bush, and they put out the first real big infrared telescope out to the farthest reaches of outer space, apparently it was discovered that with that, because it is a non-visible planet. Commonly, it's infrared. It is not, doesn't have its own illumination, so it's not easily seen. Apparently, it was seen and located and calculated that it was there, it was real, and it was coming back around in this elongated orbit and would be headed back towards Earth, and it was going to wreak havoc on the Earth. So that's the period in time when all the crazy things started changing, the money started to being siphoned off from different projects and going into the underground facilities in 1983, and around that period of time. That was only a year or so before I first testified before the Congress on relative to the Iran-Contra thing. And then later in 95, I testified related to other the Patriot movement and things of that sort. And then it went on from there with other investigations. But the timing is exactly right. So that was like the aha moment where, when everything started getting crazy with the money disappearing, et cetera, in big quantity, and the development of these giant underground drills, which they drill, they can go into the side of a mountain with a single drill that's so large that when they go in one time and back out, you could drive an 18-wheeler in the hole that it made. One of them that's in China that the Chinese are using, it's their own design. It's probably basically stolen from ours, I guess, but they have one that takes the very largest drill that we have for underground drilling and multiplies it three across. So there's literally three of them in one unit, and they're, and we're talking, 50 feet high, 50 feet across, like it's just a giant mole, and it drills right into the side of a mountain, and in theirs, it's so big, when they pull it back out, you can drive two or three vehicles side by side,
I can't imagine. Obviously. I wish they'd let me borrow that for a while.
Okay. Well, you can see it because I have it also in my my DVD. I have all of it, including the Chinese one. I also have live footage and photographs of several of the underground facilities from around the world. They're all in the DVD as well. But let me get to the planet itself. Theoretically, what it is approximately five times the size of Earth. There's a conflict between different groups that have been studying this thing for their entire lives, and there's a lot of astronomers that have been into this for a long time. There's always some conflicts because it's sort of a lot of unknowns. But it theoretically has four or five moons that travel with it, of its own, moons of their own. There is, of course, a huge tail behind it of space junk, just like a comet, like Halley's Comet and the Hale-Bopp Comet. When they both of those pass around, come in, the Halley's Comet, of course, every 75 years. The Hale-Bopp Comet is every 4,200 years and passed, came around behind the sun probably, I think it was in 97, so we don't have to worry about it. But those are both just like frozen debris and what have you. They're not anything to be concerned with, like a physical planet. And once I got into it, I said, okay, then I had to really study the planet. I got into the religious aspects. I got into the scientific aspect and getting the people who are professional in those different arenas themselves to get all of it together, as much information as I could. And I became a believer that, in fact, this is a reality. And it is on its way back. It's punching through the outer space and kind of like a bowling ball into the pins. It's knocking a lot of things out of kilter. What I had found out just before releasing the DVD, that all of the planets in our solar system have started to change on their surface chemical content. They have started to heat up. They have started to wiggle in their own orbits and move and do funny activity in their own orbits. Mm-hmm. And this starts out at the point where Pluto is, coming inwards. We've had an extraordinary effect on the sun already, and with these outrageous flares, solar flares and problems. And as a matter of fact, I want to not forget to tell you about a situation right now, is that Friday and Saturday of this week, we can expect that solar flares that have just taken place, actually a day or so ago, will be crossing Earth and possibly causing problems. And I would anticipate it. Both NASA and NOAA, the weather people of NOAA, have kind of agreed now finally that either Friday night or Saturday, the Earth might get hit with an EMF, electromagnetic field, that will potentially screw up some electronics on Earth. We had one that came from the sun on, I think it was November 5th, just a little while ago, and burned up transformers in Texas and a couple of other places in the United States. You're not going to see this on the regular.
I had heard that. Wow. Hold that thought right there, Bob.
True.
Wow, you got me now. Okay, we'll be right back after this. Okay, Patrick, where is everybody?
Okay.
Okay, there's Bob. Okay.
Yep.
Got you back.
So
Doc, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, there you are. You're talking about EMF is what you said, I think.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, like yesterday and today, the last big ones, that shot out toward us, and just I believe it was like a day or so ago in Lincoln, Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska had transformers that blew up, et cetera, on their power lines. And even in Dallas, Texas, they had some of the same thing. And in Sweden, they had to stop having planes take off for a short period of time because it affected the radar so that the aircraft were not showing up on their radar. And they actually had to interrupt the transportation out of Sweden, the air transportation, for a brief period of time. Now, coming up like Friday, Friday and or Saturday, we should get another blast from that group of newly noticed EMF flares, and it could potentially cause physical problems on Earth like it did yesterday and the day before. So anyhow, that's just a little bit of an update, and the reason I mention it, and NOAA and the NASA reluctantly admitted that that may be a situation on Friday or Saturday coming up here this week. We just had a couple of hours ago, the Aleutians up near Alaska had a big earthquake up there, a fairly big one anyhow. It was about a 3.7 and up near Canada. They're happening all over the place. Yesterday there was a 3.4 and a 3.3 in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and that area. They're taking place all over the place. The one in up in the Aleutians, up in Alaska, was a 4.7 about 5 hours ago. And wow. Indonesia Yesterday they had one was about a 6.3. Now, I mention these because in the DVD, I predicted, and I'm realizing now we shipped the first of these about a year ago, actually, and released the first of them at that time. The point is that I predicted that we would have weather changes on the entire globe like we've never had before because of the effects of this thing, because it's affecting all of the planets. Since that time, the planets have been more heavily affected. All of them are having extraordinary differences in the electromagnetic structure on the surface, storms on the surface of planets being changed and beginning and stopping like they never did before, those planets that already have those problems. The entire planetary system is being disturbed by the Planet X as it slowly comes back, headed back on in from an extraordinarily long distance off. You know, it's not like it's around the corner. The reason it's not easily seen is because it's infrared in terms of it's not a visible light, so you can't just look up there right now and see it. The other point is, of course, there's an argument between the people that have actually studied this for a long time as to whether it will be coming in on the same plane of the ecliptic that all our planets are on. We're all on, like, pretty much, give or take, a few million miles. They're all circling the sun on pretty much a given plane. It's called the plane of the ecliptic. A lot of people are saying that it will potentially be coming back at about 30 degrees off of that plane. So it makes it a little bit
more... Hold that right there, Bob, at 30 degrees. Hold that right there.
Okay.
We're going to lose it. We'll be back up for a long segment after this. And right before the break, you were talking about the planet and all the stuff going on with it.
Right. The effects, well, and also talking about a lot of people want to know, you know, why we can't see it, et cetera. First off, it's something that really requires an extremely powerful infrared telescope at this point in time until it moves close enough to where it will be seen. As a matter of fact, I have to mention that the Vatican is completely up to steam on this thing, up to par, and aware of it. They actually built, in the United States, in Arizona, a couple of years ago, a huge telescope, strictly infrared, to help keep an eye out for this particular planet. And, of course, there's been a lot of changes. All of a sudden now the Pope, et cetera, is saying that when we come across alien life, if it exists, that we're going to accept them into the Catholic Church, and et cetera. So there's changes that people never thought would happen, and it's because of Nibiru and the potential of course, alien life out there that never would have been accommodated years ago by the Church. Had the Pope said that 100 years ago, they would have burned him at the stake. And anyhow, so things have changed from that view. But they are also, the religious leaders are up to steam on this thing. They've actually been filled in with, up to a certain point, with technical knowledge on what's going on with that. And strangely enough, the title, the name of that particular large infrared telescope is Lucifer. So, which is kind of strange.
I love that, didn't you?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. But, okay, what I had done, because after seeing what was going to happen, and information from people that have studied this for years and years, and including, like, one fellow that's actually lived in China for a while and actually went into the documentary of the Chinese astronomy community back to when the emperor was still alive, and they had very finite details of when Nibiru previously had passed. So they have all of that right down to a day-by-day account as it went across the sky. And then, of course, there's it's written in the Bible. It's referred to as wormwood. It's the Revelations describes the passing of the planet coming across and blocking off the sun and all of that. It's the amount of documentation of a biblical scholars of all nations around the world going back 2,000, 3,000 years, or even farther than that, relative to the Sumerian clay tablets that have been transcribed, etc., talks about it. So I'm convinced, and now it gets down to the big question, everybody wants to know, when is this going to happen? And according to, again, people that have studied this for years and years and done the mathematical analysis and et cetera, unfortunately, and of course, a big deal is watching how the government elite at the highest level are filling these underground facilities with foodstuffs. They're doing that and seeing that they are completed and ready for usage last year and not 20 years ahead. In other words, they're not planning for 5 or 10 years down the road. Okay. They're planning for the potential this year or next year. That's how close their figures are in terms of being concerned. And if you just go, like I say, you just go by watching them fill their underground hideouts with food, that's what we're talking about. They've been supplying military weapons to local police and sheriff also in huge amounts. Millions and millions of bullets and crowd control equipment and what have you for since 95. And it's still going on. They talk about it during the racial problems we had. And people were saying, how come what's with the sheriff has riot control water guns and hand grenade launchers and armored cars? What's with that? Well, the bottom line is simply this. The government is stuck in a situation where worldwide, now we're talking, all of the governments are stuck with the problem of, do we dare tell anybody about this coming in? Well, now the answer to that, quite simply, obviously, is no. They're not going to announce that this thing is going to be coming in like in 30 days or something like that. You can't do that. The riots, murder, and out-of-control chaos on the face of the earth would be... You couldn't even make a movie to show how bad it would be. So,
what about the ones in Russia, though, Bob? I mean, they've built, like you said, I think 5,000. So do the people there know?
Oh, yeah, 5,000 underground facilities. Now, again, I have to be cautious with that. What I'm trying to say relative to those now, a lot of those are very small, reasonably small, maybe only hold a couple hundred people, all right? But they're not announcing it to their... Well, they did announce it, you know, and they're just calling it underground emergency shelters, you know, which is very vague. But they're... And now they are on the news in Russia and China and Japan talking about the planet. They have done that, and I do have a coverage of that in my DVD as well. They have been doing that certainly more than we are. But the bottom line is... The government is going to have to have some type of martial law in place before people start seeing this thing as a star coming in from the distance. All right? So, in other words, once it starts to become visible, we'll probably have 100,000 amateur astronomers will start reporting this thing like crazy because all of a sudden it'll be a new star and it will start getting progressively larger as it comes towards the sun. So
you think that'll be next summer?
Well, so here's where it is that people have been asking, what is the date on this thing? All right, now this is not Bob Fletcher. This is Bob Fletcher just telling you what he understands from the people that have been studying this thing for a long, long time. And it's two different groups that I've been keeping in contact with, both of which I have high respect for. There is a little conflict as to whether it's going to be coming in from 30 degrees off of our ecliptic plane or if it will be coming in on the same general plane that all the rest of the planets are on, and that affects a little bit in terms of when and where and what direction it might be coming from. But I want to point out, everybody remembers the Russian comet, the meteorite that came in and crashed and exploded over Russia a couple of years ago. Nobody saw that coming at all. Not a single telescope notified anybody that that was coming. They were watching, as a matter of fact, for another one that did come and did pass, whatever, came around, and they anticipated it. And we had one on the 30, a couple of days back on Halloween, we had one that passed close by, which was a comet. The point is, that one came from our perspective. It came from behind the sun, the one that they didn't see, that exploded in the air over Russia. Now, that's a good example of the problem you have with identifying these things. Everything is moving all the time, and if we're talking about one item that may be coming up from 30 degrees off of our ecliptic, coming in on a separate plane, it may be more difficult to locate for amateurs. Now, for the government, the people that have the big telescopes, and they got them out, a whole bunch of them out there right now, way far away, trying to keep track of this stuff. In the last 10 months, they have discovered 20 planets with some of the new telescopes that they never knew existed out there, all right, on the fringes of our solar system. All right. Now, I'm going to try to answer the question that people want to know about this. The major agreed-upon potential date, the earliest potential date of it coming around, would be that it would be seen in the sky this December. That's next month.
Okay, I've heard that, too.
And if it is seen in December, and at this point, because we're so close to it, I don't think that this is going to be an accurate date. Because I think they're going to have to, I don't think they have time to put things, the martial law, into effect if they haven't done it already, and they haven't. But the idea is that it will be seen in December. It will get larger December, January, February, March. And in March, it will be the closest to the Earth to cause the worst effects. And that's the equivalent of Noah's floods, and also the electronic and gravitational effects to screw up all of our electronics. In all of the satellites, everything would be boogered up. And the worst of it is, we will pass, when it comes through and goes around the sun, we will go through the tail of this thing one time, and then when it goes back out, in 155 days, we would go through the tail a second time when it goes out. Now, what happens when we go through the tail, it's going to be a meteor storm, all right? So it'll be all the pieces of this thing dragging along behind it, smacking into them. Some of them obviously will get through our atmosphere and will strike the Earth. And so if that happens, it's going to be the biblical stories of hail and brimstone that they used to talk about, causing so many problems in the Bible. That is the same kind of a problem we're talking about. Now, again, I have to point out, my feeling has been, since they're going to have martial law in effect, it would be on the basis of some other thing. In other words, they're not going to tell us it's because of some kind of a celestial problem. They're going to be talking about that we may be going to war with Russia, and because of the things going on now with Russia and doing all of their military moves, that's a possibility. Could be on the basis of a biological breakout of a disease like Ebola or something of that sort. And then the
are you
third
saying that's
one
how they would roll out martial law to begin with?
Excuse me. In other words, here's the point. One of these three points is what's going to be used as an excuse. The third point
as a cover-up.
The third point is going to be a potential terrorist acts all over the country.
Okay, I'll hold that thought right there, Bob. We're coming up in our last segment. We'll be right back after these messages. Our guest tonight has been Bob Fletcher. Go to bobfletcherinvestigations.com and check it out. Okay, Bob, you were talking about a war with Russia, a biological or a terrorist attack. We got just a few minutes. Just let you fly through it.
It'll probably be one of the three things that has to be that would be on the brink of war one way or another. Maybe three or four states having huge terrorist events. But it has to be something where the United States public will accommodate it and will say, oh, good, they're going to protect us from whatever this situation is. Because they have to have martial law in to maintain the public once it starts being seen to prevent the total chaos. That's why the Sheriff's Department and all the small police departments have been given and been supplied all the military weapons, gear, and equipment for riot control over the last 10 years on a regular progressive basis. That's the reason for that, and that's where that comes in and makes sense. Now, by the way, I want to tell the folks that may, when you get on, those of you that are not computer-oriented or don't want to order the DVD that way, if you'll drop me a note, it's Post Office Box 216 Bayview, Idaho. That's Post Office Box 216 Bayview, Idaho, 83803. You can drop me a note. I will send you a little catalog, a list, or you can just send $24.95, and we pay the shipping. This is a big four-hour DVD. It's two DVDs in the package. It's an entire library of information that covers everything that I talked about tonight and a whole bunch of things that I haven't had opportunity, but it covers every aspect of this so that, unfortunately, after watching it, you'll understand why I am positive that this is a reality. So, and to get back to the time, because I want to make this as clear as I can, and we only have a couple minutes here. The if it's not seen by they're going to see it before we do, obviously, because of their equipment. If it's not seen and they don't move forward with some type of a martial law configuration, then we probably have another year, because the agreement is the agreed point by all of the people studying this for so many years is that it will be in the month of December first seen like a new star on the up in the sky, and it will be closest to Earth in the month of March. So it'll take that period of time, 4 or 5 months, before it's close enough. That's always happened with the historic accounts. It's always been a March and April period of time when it passed close to the Earth in the last passing of this thing. So if we don't have the problem this year, then we pretty much can relax for another year in terms of it and keep a watch for it. And coming up, I'm going to be putting together, I'm working on it now, I've been working on it for many months, a new report that's will indicate the possibility of them having a mechanism to interfere or destroy this thing coming in. And but this is it's going to be really a shocking report that when I get it finished, people are going to really be upset when they find out about this whole picture here. But I'm working on that now, and that'll be coming out, I hope, I don't know, as soon as I can get it finished. But the bottom line is, this is something that you can't worry about it, because there's nobody right now that can do anything about it, and it's like worrying about that truck that's going to hit you that next week. You know, you can't let it interfere with your life.
You can't.
It's totally a natural kind of an event. Again, there's no reason to pull your hair out, and it will affect everybody one way or another. If you have $1 million now, there are underground facilities available, you know, and you can look them up on the computers. You'll look up a silo survival hideaways or something like that on Google, and you will find several of them that are completely ready and done and finished with, you know, swimming pools inside and everything, you know, 300 feet underground. So if you're got enough money, you can buy one of those properties.
Yeah, I'll get right on that too, Bob, right?
Okay, yeah, all of us. We have to get together. But
that's right.
Anyhow, that's about all the time we got, I guess. You're just about running out of time now.
Bob, you timed that perfectly. I couldn't have done that better. At all. Thank you so much for being on tonight, Bob Fletcher. I will get with you soon on your next expose. So you take care and have a super evening.
God bless you. Take care.
God bless you, too. Doc, thanks. I will talk to you soon. Good night, listeners. We'll see you back tomorrow night.